All right, we're going to look in Joshua chapter 1. We'll share a message tonight. Press on series, succeeding in the Christian life. The Christian life is a life really of a number of times that we have great victories, then we have failures, we're up and we're down, and we want to be able to be a consistent, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, irregardless of what goes on in our life. And so I want to take a look at this tonight. Be sure to be having on your mind and heart and prayer of the children over on the other side. If you have children, I'll guarantee you they will be well shored up by the time they go home. Amen. And they're having a lot of fun over there. And so we're excited about being able to have this. We're going to not be real long tonight. Of course, I always say that, but we won't be real long. I want to give you a chance to go over and see what's going on and be a part of that also tonight. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time to be able to study the word tonight. I pray that you'd give us an understanding heart. I pray that you'd give us the ability to make some practical applications of the word of God into our life, and help us to strive to know you, Lord, to live our life in a way that is pleasing to our God, and Lord, that we might be motivated to really strive to be successful in our Christian life, being consistent, continually walking with our God. And so I pray that you'd bless the preaching of the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, the interesting thing is there's all kinds of ways that you can define success. And I was doing some research as I was putting this together, and I was looking up some of these preachers that are on television, and it's amazing. They define success as how much money they have. Was it Kenny Copeland has, I think it's 7 private planes that he owns. One of the fellows, I forget who it was, I forget his name, I think it was Jesse Duplantis, told the people he was flying back on his airplane, and he said, God talked to him and said, do you like this airplane? And he said, well, I thought for a minute. I said, yeah, I like this airplane. And God, he said, God told him, he said, well, do you really like this airplane? And he said, I'm thinking to myself, why has God asked me this? Does he want me to like this plane, or does he want to give me something else? And then he said, God told him, he said, well, you know, you need to strive. What is your faith, stale and stagnant? You can't believe me to give you a bigger plane and a better plane? We're talking about $10 million airplane, folks. and even more. He literally went and told the people, God told him to get another airplane. But they'll preach health, wealth, and prosperity to people and take their money away from them to feed their own lustful desires that possess what the world has to offer. And they justified in that they were all, and every one of them that listened to different testimonies of them, out of their own mouths was they cannot ride on a regular commercial airline because there's just too many wicked people around them, and they need to be around a spirit where they're with God. And I'm like, good night. You ever think about getting on the airplane and witnessing to somebody? See, success is relevant to the individual who's trying to define what it is. I thought it was interesting, Sir Richard Branson, I don't know if you ever read anything about him. He has his own island. Matter of fact, the hurricane that just went through really destroyed his house and everything on his own private island. He's worth about $5 billion. And he said this, in my opinion, true success should be measured by how happy you are. So what happens when a tragedy hits and now you're mourning and you're sorrowing? Are you no longer successful? Success is only based on how happy you are. John Wooden is the winningest coach in college basketball in history. He said, peace of mind attained only through self-satisfaction in knowing you made the effort to do the best of which you're capable. Well, what if you can't? Your capabilities aren't where you're going to win games athletically or whatever. So you no longer are successful. Warren Buffett, who's worth $77 billion, said the measure of success is whether the people close to you are happy and love you. And I guess so. With $77 billion, he's probably got a lot of people wanting to get close and love him. Amen. I'll be his best friend. $77 million. Oh, my goodness. Thomas Edison said, success is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Amen. These guys crack me up. But success, what is success? We're a Christian. I believe the Bible. The Bible says here that thou shalt have good success. I think as a Christian, we ought to be able to define for ourselves, according to what the Word of God has to say, what is success. As a pastor, is success that I have 1,500 or 3,000 people in church? Or is success, I remember a preacher saying years ago, yeah, we're on revival in our church. We have a revolving door revival. They come in the front door and go out the back mad. I thought, what kind of revival is that? And that's what he's identifying success as? I think we got a problem, folks. I really do. Because we really don't understand how to define what real success is. This is an exciting time in the life of Joshua. He's witnessed God's miraculous power to deliver. He's enjoyed God's daily provision in the wilderness for 40 years. He's experienced the thrill of following a man truly led and empowered by God. So now God is going to take him and elevate him into a position of leadership in Israel. What an exciting time in his life. What a scary time. What a time of opportunity that he has as God directs him to step into this place. So he tells Joshua, in reference to the word of God, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here's some thoughts I had in this chapter, these 8 verses. First of all, about success. How can I define success in my personal life as a Christian? Number one, I think it's having the ability of comprehending God's purpose. Comprehending God's purpose. I think if I live my life and just live a life that's void of understanding what God's purpose is in my life, I might be successful in the world's terms, but I certainly am not successful in relationship to who God is. And I think the most important thing for a young person, or any person really, but I often think of young people as they're getting out of school and out of high school and getting out of college, the most important thing I think they need to be aware of, what is God's purpose or plan for their life? And because if they don't plug into God's purpose for their life, they're not going to be successful according to what God desires them to achieve and to accomplish. So notice here, comprehending God's purpose, first of all, there's a need for new leadership. He says, my servant, Moses, is dead. And so there was a need for new leadership. And may I say this, that when you live the Christian life, there are always new opportunities that God brings into your life. Even in the world, if you live in the world and if you're striving to get ahead and be what successful according to what the world has to present to you, you're always looking for new opportunities to plug into. And so I think we have to be open to what it is that God wants to do in redirecting our life if he so desires to do that. We want to comprehend what is God's purpose. And Moses is dead. And we know Caleb and Joshua both lived through the wilderness experience. They were the ones that had a positive report when the spies went in at Kadesh Barnea. But it's easy to think, well, wait a minute. All right, Moses is dead. Then why doesn't Caleb take that position? Because Caleb, from a human standpoint, certainly had just as much of a right to be in that position as Joshua did. But God didn't say that he was going to use Caleb to be in that position. He told Joshua, hey, my servant Moses did. This is your new position. This is your new opportunity. So God does have a very specific purpose for each of us to fulfill. And success is getting plugged in to the leadership role that God wants us to fulfill. Not only is there a need for new leadership, but there is a plan that is still in need of being fulfilled. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Now, wait a minute. When God brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt with Moses leading them, God's purpose was for Moses to bring them out, bring them over through past Kadesh Barnea and go into the promised land and possess the land. But because of their sin, because of their disobedience, God would have to send them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But wait a minute, God still has a plan that needs to be fulfilled. And I think from generation to generation, from person to person, I think we need to be reminded that God still has a plan to fulfill, and certainly in the church age. I'm always amazed at Acts chapter 1. It says in reference to Acts being written, Luke's writing it, and he says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. And he says this, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And I'm always amazed at that very beginning verse of the book of Acts, because it identifies that there is still something that needs to be fulfilled. And I think we have to plug into God's purpose is that he established the church here for a reason, and that's to preach the gospel that people might be saved, to preach and teach the word of God and disciple people in their faith, and there is still a job to do. And so if I understand God's purpose of working through the church and bringing people to Christ and salvation and developing them and growing them, then it helps me to be successful in my Christian life, because I'm going to be a part of the plan that God still is working to fulfill. And so comprehending God's purpose, there's not only a need for new leadership, not only a plan that still needs to be fulfilled, but there is a place in need of possession. Notice in verse 2 also, he says, and all this people unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. There's still a place in need of possession. May I say, the world is getting farther and farther away from God. And so the world is still God's purpose that they might be saved, and God wants to use us to possess the land. God did not bring us to a place of deliverance and salvation and faith in Christ to give up what he has given us. You know, I love America, and I love the fact that we are founded on Christian principles, but I don't believe it's right for us. We can't say we're successful as a Christian if we ignore God's purpose in that we might maintain ourselves as being a Christian people. And we just give up and we lay back and don't do anything in possessing what God has so designed for us to have. I believe success is comprehending God's purpose. Whenever we're living apart from God's purpose, I don't care what you're doing, you're not successful. Ravi Zacharias said this: when you find your definitions in God, you find the very purpose for which you were created. Put your hand into God's hand, know his absolutes, demonstrate his love, present his truth, and the message of redemption and transformation will take hold. And I think oftentimes that we have forgotten that God does have a purpose. God didn't just create us to put us on this earth. God created us for a purpose. God has saved us for a purpose. And so real success, Joshua is being impressed upon here, real success is comprehending what is God's purpose for your life. I think that's the greatest thing that we can instill in our young people, is that they pursue not an academic degree, not a job that pays a lot of money, but they pursue the knowledge of what is God's purpose for my life. Now, it may be a job that they make a lot of money. They'll take care of us, poor people, amen? It may be all kinds of things like that. It may be a strong academic education, it may be. But if that is not God's purpose, then we fail in living our life. And so we need, want to be successful, we need to comprehend God's purpose. Number two, I see this, we need to be confident of God's promise. In verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And we could solve all the problems in the Middle East by taking those dimensions over there and saying, this is the land of Israel. But that is not the where Israel is confined to in 2017. But God said, listen, this is where you're going to be. Confident in God's promise. Letter A is just simply there. God's promise extends from leader to leader. He says, as I was with Moses. And so I've had to get over this thing years ago. I used to just always think about, well, God used to use so-and-so, or God did this in so-and-so's life. And I realized this, I had to get over that. That was a complex I had. I needed to get over that. Why? Because God's promises that he made to Elijah, listen, carried over to Elisha. God's promises he gave to Moses carried over to Joshua. God's promises that he's made in great preachers and great Christian women in years gone by in our lifetime or prior to our lifetime are promises that carry over to us. The God that made those promises does not change. And so if I'm going to be successful, then I'm not only going to comprehend God's purpose, I'm going to be confident in God's promise. I'm going to believe God for great things. I'm going to believe that God can move in a mighty way in my life and in our church, just like he has in years gone by. But not only does it extend from leader to leader, but the confidence of God's promise extends from border to border. So I don't care if you're in New Jersey or whether you're in Delaware or if you're in Florida, or if you're in the Philippines, it doesn't matter. God's promises extend from border to border. And God can work just as mighty here as he can somewhere else. Oftentimes we say, well, man, there's great revivals going on overseas. And may I say, there is great revivals going on overseas in the midst of great persecution. But that doesn't mean we can't have great revival here. Because God's promise extends from border to border. And this is the land where we live, amen? We live in Ocean County. Then border to border, we need to make sure we are reaching the people for Christ. And success is living in with a life that is confident that God's promises are true. And I know this, that God's promises work. Our problem is we don't believe the promises. And so we need to trust what God has said, put it into action in our life, and then allow God to work it out as he deems he desires to work it out. Whether it's churches that are falling apart, whether it's colleges that are failing, whether it's marriages that are ending, it doesn't matter what it is. Only thing that brings failure is some aspect of someone involved in whatever the situation is departing from the promises of God. So you just don't understand. God may have said that, but he's not working that way in my family. Well, why don't you just believe the promises of God and let God do what he wants when he feels like doing it? See, success is not you dictating to God. The success is you trusting what God has promised. Notice not only is there confidence of God's promise, but we're conscious of God's presence. In verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now listen, we know that Joshua, when he went into Canaan land, had a lot of trials. He had a lot of battles. He had a lot of victories. And he had a lot of failures. But God, listen, God never abandoned him. Oftentimes people say, well, I'm going through this situation in my life. Where's God in this? Success is being confident and conscious of God's presence, even in the midst when you think you're failing. Because, listen, it's not the circumstances in life that dictate whether you're successful or not. The success is based on the presence of God. So a consciousness, or being conscious of God's presence. Notice, what do we do here? God's presence diminishes man's opposition. And so he says here in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. See, a conscious awareness of God's presence is, wait a minute, they can't stand against me because God's standing for me. And that's why Paul said, if God be for us, who can stand against us? And so success is having that conscious awareness in your life that no matter what the opposition may be, it's going to fade away and it's going to depart because of the fact that God is with you. I don't care where you are, what's going on in your life. Jesus has promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so I need to live in light of the presence of God, because if I walk in the presence of God, I don't fear the presence of man. It diminishes man's opposition. But not just that, but letter B, God's presence provides for man an example. He says, as I was with Moses. Now I'm going to tell you something. When he made that statement to Joshua, without a doubt that Joshua was thinking in his mind, you know, I remember when Moses stood before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, I don't know your God. Neither will I let Israel go. And Moses would stand firm and believe his God. And ultimately, by the end, while the confrontation was over, Pharaoh would bend to the will and the power of God and said, take thy people, take everything with you and get out of Egypt. And he sends them out. And so here is God reminding Joshua, listen, you don't have to worry about anything because my presence has already provided for you an example to follow. And I'm thankful that we can look to other people and we can see God's presence in their life and moving in their life. And it gives us a hopeful spirit that we can press on living in light of the presence of God. Notice God's presence encourages a man when he is lonely. He said, nor forsake thee. When you have nowhere to turn, it seems like you have no one that you can depend upon. There is one that you can depend upon, and that's the Lord. And he is always with you. He's never going to abandon you. And so, yes, they often say there's a lot of room at the top. Well, that's true, but there's also a lot of loneliness at the top also. And so when you feel like you're alone, realize this, you're never alone. There's never a time when God's not with you, and when you feel like there's no one you can turn to, you still have the Lord that you can turn to. And so real success is being conscious of God's presence in your life. Well, not only that, but number five, it's being conditioned in God's power. I wanted to use that word conditioned because I thought of going and working out at the gym. It's not something that's a reality. It's a thought process. Amen. I thought if I could think enough about working out at the gym, it'd make me fit. Amen. It would get me conditioned, but it's not working very successful. But anyway, conditioned in God's power. I think we need to be exercised in walking with God and living with God that we experience the power of God moving through us. Conditioned. Why? How do we condition ourselves in God's power, according to verse 6? By following God's command. He just said, be strong. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He just said, be strong. And you say, well, I just don't feel like I can go on. The command is, be strong. Well, how am I going to be strong? Condition yourself to rest in the power of God. It's not about your strength. It's about the power of God that rests upon you. And see, we try to do it in our own strength. And I'll tell you what, it will wear you out. You can't do it in your own strength. That's what God's grace is there for. That's what his mercy is for. And we can follow his commands just to be strong because of the fact that we are conditioned that his power is there to be released through us. And you can have the power of God upon you. Not only following God's command, but standing in God's confidence and of good courage. So there's a command for two of those things, a command to be strong and a command to be of good courage. And I know life can be disappointing. People can be disappointing, but God is never disappointing. His power is always sufficient. When you are weak, then you can be strong. That's what Paul said. And when you think you can't get up and face tomorrow, you can because you're confident in the fact that God is still giving you the strength to get up tomorrow and face the demands and the challenges of the day. So success, I believe, is being conditioned in God's power. But it's also living by God's choosing. He says here, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God has chosen to give Israel this power. He's reminding Joshua, wait a minute, I promised your forefathers I would give them the power that they needed. And so Joshua, this power is available for you. Now understand that tonight, that as a Christian, God has promised to give us this power. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so I can be successful in my Christian life by being conditioned in the power of God, not trying to stand in my own strength, but surrendering myself to the power of God that is present and available for me to do that. I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, in some circles, God has been abridged, reduced, modified, edited, changed, amended, until he is no longer the God whom Isaiah saw high and lifted up. I really believe that Christian success, in light of all these things we're looking at here, is seeing the Lord high and lifted up in his majesty, in his authority, in his power, in his reigning, and realizing this, that God has chosen to give you that power that he has available for you. And so we need to be conditioned in the power of God. Number five, or whatever numeral we're on, verse 7 there. We need to be connected with God's program. In other words, God has a purpose for us, but we need to be, because he has a purpose for us, we need to be connected to his program. In verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Notice, connected with God's program is based on what's written in God's law, to all the law. And so we don't come up with our own program. We often say the church, we have kind of a threefold description of what we are as a church. We're to exalt the Savior. We believe that with all of our heart. We're supposed to exalt the Lord. Why? The Bible tells us to exalt the Lord. We're supposed to edify the saints. Certainly the Bible tells us we're to edify one another. And then it tells us we believe in evangelizing the sinner. Why? Because the Bible tells us that God's not willing that any should perish. That's God's program. That's not something we made up. That's not something we state because, oh, we're an independent Baptist church. No, it's because God has a program. And his program is that we respond to him according to what he has stated in his word, so written in God's law. But it was spoken by God's man. Connecting with God's program is responding to what God has written, but he's also responding what God has spoken by his man. Moses, my servant, commanded. God always has a word for us through the prophets of old, through the preachers of new, whatever it may be, through the soul winner that proclaims the truths of God's word, what is spoken by God's man. We really do not have the privilege of being able to stand and proclaim what we want to say. We have to say what God has to say. So that's letter B there, Mike, spoken by God's man. And letter C is proven by God's leading. And so he tells him, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. So proven by God's leading. If God's leading, you stay on that path. I love what Dr. Malone said years ago, men, stay in the middle of the road. I heard that for 4 years. Stay in the middle of the road. Don't go to the right hand. Don't go to the left hand. And I say where we get ourselves in trouble as a Christian and we struggle in being successful and committed in our Christian life is because we're always wanting to go out on tangents. We want to go out on some radical thing to the right or some radical thing on the left. Just stay in the middle of the road. Be balanced in your Christian life. Because God is the one who is leading us, so we don't turn to the right, we don't turn to the left, we stay on course. I was watching, every once in a while I look on YouTube as I need to clear my brains, and I watch a tractor plowing in the field. But I was watching this 2,500-acre field. They were combining corn. And they were talking about these new combines, John Deere combines, five combines combining 2,500 acres of corn. And I thought it was interesting. You're thrilled to find out what the outcome of this story is, I know. But my wife will tell me when I get home, I can't believe you said that. But anyway. But these combines are amazing. The farmers don't even have to drive them. They have GPSs in them. They just get in that thing, they set that thing, they're just sitting there, the thing's going down the field, and it's combining, it's just leading the way. You say, what does that have to do with anything? I have no idea, but I thought about it, amen? I just thought it was interesting. Man can trust a computer. Man can trust a GPS. In a combine, you're sitting in this huge combine. You're looking right down on the rows of corn. You can't drive it down the row. You don't need a GPS to know where you're going across a field. I mean, really, Brother Rapp, help me out here. You don't need a GPS to do that. But they have them in there, and they sit back, and they trust the thing. But we say to the Christian, successfulness as a Christian
is following the proven leading of God in your life. Well, I don't know where God's going to take me. I don't know if I can trust him. My goodness, we need to be connected with God's program. Why? Because God's going to lead us down a path that's going to be successful. You think that God was going to direct Joshua down a path that would ensure his failure? No, he was preparing him to be successful in leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Well, the last point is conforming to God's precepts. And notice is this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And said, thou, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So conforming to God's precepts means this, just simply this, hiding it. It's not going to depart out of your mouth. Hide it down in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hiding the word into your heart. I remember when I went to Bible college, my first class I had to take was Pentateuch class. And I went into Pentateuch class, and the very first verse I had to memorize when I was in Bible college was Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And it is so powerful and important because we need to conform to the precepts of God. How am I going to do that? I have to hide the word in my heart. But not just that, but we need to be meditating on it. Says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It is more important for you to meditate upon the word of God than it is to meditate upon the scores of your favorite football team. It's amazing to me, kids in our school, you know, you'll tell them they have a verse they have to memorize for Bible, or you have a math they need to learn and memorize how to do, and they're like, I can't memorize anything, I just can't do it. But yet they'll rattle off the scores and the names and the numbers of every player there is in the whole world. And I'm like, you tell me you can't memorize? You must be meditating on something, amen. We need to meditate upon the word of, and then it's observing it. See, conforming to God's precepts is not only do I hide it in my heart and I mill it over in my mind, but it becomes a part of my life. And see, success as a Christian is now living out those very principles by which God has given us to live by. I love these quotes, and we'll close with this. Helen Keller said, character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. Success, pressing on, succeeding in the Christian life. It's not going to just come by chance. There's going to be things that you're going to have to go through. And when you go through them, you need to hold on to these precepts that God has laid out in his plan that he has for your life. George Mueller said this, be assured if you walk with him and look to him and expect him help from him, he will never fail you. God would not give us all these principles by which we can live and then say, I'm not going to help you do it. God does not design life for us to fail. God designs life for us to bring glory to him. And when we bring glory to him, that's true success. Success is not whether I'm happy. Success is not whether I'm wealthy. Success is not whether I'm well loved and everything. Success is how I'm living my life. I bring glory to my God in heaven. William Carey said, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. And I think great success is living that type of a life that we are going to attempt great things for God. We're going to launch out there. And we're going to trust God that we'll be able to experience great things from the hand of God. And I found this, that God will always show himself true, faithful, and powerful in our life. So, true success, pressing on to succeeding in the Christian life. Well, I hope that was helpful to you tonight. Need to pray. You have a prayer sheet there.